Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You made it. We thought you might not make it.
No, I'm only a few minutes late. I'm moving very slowly this morning. Very slowly.
Doing great, Maureen. This is the kind of absolute electric energy we wanted to come back with in these series, isn't it? Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
This is
what we're bringing to the brand new series of WTB, is this kind of energy, dynamism, positivity, dare I say euphoria, that a lot of people will be experiencing in their ear rolls as they experienced Maureen emerging from her bed.
I fell asleep on the sofa. Bed was a bit too far to go. Also, I haven't made the bed.
There's lots of things. Well, we keep our expectations low with you, Maureen. It's enough that you've switched your computer on. Well done. Well done. So Maureen is had her 2000th celebration for her birthday yesterday.
Birthday party. several birthday parties to celebrate the monumental 38th.
As you do, I had a party in Vienna, which Jen was at, and had a party in London last night, which was really, really, really nice. I might have had quite a lot of drinks. People keep buying me drinks. What can I say? It's rude to say no.
I know, but this is so weird because you don't drink, as you've told me drink. Many, many times. So it's you don't drink.
I do drink when other people are buying. I do drink when other people are buying.
Maureen's teetotal habits can be broken if you are to actually physically put a drink in front of her. Yeah, then she'll drink.
Alice and Jen had fun in Vienna with my mates, didn't you? Jen's face was usually quite bemused.
We had a great time in Vienna.
Do you want to tell the Bobby story?
The what story?
The Bobby story.
What's the Bobby story?
You know about the Bobby who shat in front of somebody's door.
I don't know this story.
Anyway, we were talking about this guy that my friend liked, and then she went, oh, and Bobby shat in front of his door, and me and my other friend went, oh, right. And Jen was just looking really confused. And
oh, yeah.
Because we forgot to explain that Bobby was a dog. Jen thought it was a person.
I was like, so your boyfriend shat in front of someone's door. Okay. I just thought, Maureen and Maureen's friend, other friend, whose name we're not allowed to mention, just carried on listening, and I was like, okay, we're not going to mention the fact that some bloke curled one out in front of the door. Okay, great. And then they were like, no, Bobby's the dog. I was like, okay. Thought Bobby was the boyfriend. All right.
You're like, this might just be a tradition here. I don't know. Maybe they...
Well, we had fun.
Yes,
we did have fun. It was a very immersive experience, is how I would describe it.
Yeah, we learned a lot about pigs. We learned a lot about pig slaughtering, didn't we?
There was quite a lot of conversation. I mean, all of this is very much out of context, Maureen. So what you're doing is naming a load of in-jokes that no one else...
Which is a great start to a series of a podcast.
And you know, we can't expand on. So
There's absolutely no point in bringing up any of this because you and I have been explicitly told that we're not allowed to expand on any of it. In fact, I was there when we said we wouldn't. And now, 30 seconds in. Anyway, so there was talk about pigs. Okay, great. We'll have to move on. We can't.
Anton, what have you been up to? Oh, can I just say, Jen bought me a tablet.
I know.
For my birthday. And I think Alison may have bought me some additional equipment,
so to speak.
Yeah, we're still
waiting for it to show up.
This was Alison suggested this make of tablet because I was like, oh, I'm thinking of a tablet. And Alison went, oh, then I've got one for you, babe, and sent me a thing. And then I went down a rabbit hole and researched all of them and picked one of those out, which you received. And then I sent Alison the link and she bought, I mean, this is the absolute. I said to Maureen, she said, I said, it hasn't got a case, but don't worry about a case.
Okay? Wink, wink.
Yeah. And Maureen went, yeah, okay. As in, I said, it hasn't got a case, Maureen. Don't worry about a case. You know, little wink, little nudge. 10 minutes later, I just bought a case online.
Oh, Maureen!
I was like, why have you bought a case online? I said, don't worry about a case. You said...
I don't remember this.
Maureen said, did you? I said, yeah, I did. And Maureen went, I didn't hear you. I said, well, that's because you never listen to anything I'm saying. So Maureen went out and bought a case. I said, well, maybe don't buy the case. Maureen was like, why? I said, oh my God, do I have to spell it out? Don't buy the case, Maureen, because I don't think you're going to need it. Oh, why's that? Because somebody else is buying you the case. Somebody else has already bought the case, Maureen.
It's cancelled. I got cancelled it. Then I went to buy headphones, didn't I?
Maybe don't buy headphones either, Maureen.
Don't buy headphones.
Maureen said, I'm just buying some headphones, or shouldn't I buy headphones? I said, oh, this is really fucking up the surprise. I said, do you know what? Don't buy headphones. And Maureen went, okay, I won't buy headphones. I was like, I'm really sorry that this has now ruined.
I know. Then Alison went, you'll get a surprise opening out the boxes.
I won't. I know what it is.
So what have you been up to, Alison?
Hilarious. Not going to birthday parties, which I'm a little jealous of, to be honest with you. Why do you have to have them in Vienna? Why do you have to live in London? Anyway, I've been doing my tour,
Yay! Which
is very exciting. Yay. Shout out to Kathleen, who came to the show in Glasgow. Shout out to all the listeners who have come up and been like, when is WTB back? Here we are. So shout out to Kathleen. Thank you for coming to the show and thank you for being a listener. And then also continuing on in my journey of making new foods, which is what I'm trying to do now, everyone. I made an Asian cucumber salad. There we go. That's my week, everyone.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
It was lovely.
What a thing to have, a cucumber salad. What does a cucumber salad involve? I mean, obviously cucumber, but...
Yeah. Baby cucumbers, a little red onion, and it's an Asian one. So it was like a little bit of soy sauce, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of ginger paste, a little bit of chili flakes, a little bit of honey. Oh, my God. It was so good. It was good. And the baby cucumbers. I love a little baby cuke.
They're really nice.
They're delicious. So,
the kids love baby cucumbers. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of a baby cucumber.
Baby cucumbers
just don't like them. I think they taste weird. They're weird tasting. They taste adjacent cucumber. Cucumber adjacent is what they taste like. It's like they're like, this is a cucumber, but it's a baby cucumber. Don't expect a cucumber flavor. It's gonna be offering something different. Turns out I don't like that different adjacent cucumber flavor, but I appreciate it from afar. They look cute, don't they?
Yeah, they are cute.
Little pet cucumbers.
I like the crunch. I think that was me eating a baby cucumber, which probably repulsed you, Jen. I'm sorry. I just acted out chewing and you...
No. I can handle acting out chewing. It's just actual chewing I can't handle.
Real mastication.
Acting out chewing is fine, but were you to actually masticate in front of me, I would throw up. Well, that sounds great. We too had a cucumber salad whilst we were away. Maureen's very dear friend who we stayed with, fed us and watered us to the point where I started to feel like one of those people in, You know those medieval movies where the people are just picking up a pig and gnawing its head off. Ah, bring on the dancing girls. It was, you know, it's like just so gluttonous, so much food. Like, I can't actually handle the amount of food.
And she goes
here
to so much trouble, doesn't she? There's like the breakfast table is just full of food. It's all garnished. You know, there's loads of things to choose from. She's such a great hostess.
She was the hostess with the mostess. And Maureen, very much. What I love about their relationship is that Maureen is a lounger. Do you know about this?
I've seen her lounge.
It's like the perfect relationship. Maureen never leaves the sofa stroke chair stroke table.
Or bed.
And she does literally everything. And that's...
that's how I like it.
So very sweet. There's a trio of them, and they've known each other since they were 18, and it was very sweet. They're like the most eccentric three women you'll ever meet.
I'm the most normal.
I've been friends for over, well, I can't say how many years.
Well, for longer than I've been born.
And it's just really lovely. Your friendship group is just, it's adorable, really. Anyway, we did have a great time in Vienna.
We're very different.
Very different people. I very much recommend, if you want a trip, you know, like a weekend away, Vienna is a great place to visit, and actually quite inexpensive. It's not expensive. Like, we're going to quite posh cafes and quite posh places. And I would say that if you wanted to spend like, oh my God, I feel like I'm really forking out. It's like 16, 17 euros.
For a meal. In a really nice, this is one of the most famous cafes.
But if you want to go cheap, 8-9 euros. So anyway, Vienna, we had a lovely time. It was a lot of fun. And that's it. We've all had weeks, and we're delighted to be back for the new series of WTB. Thank you all for being so patient waiting for us. It's the logistics. We're very busy women, just trying to get us all in a room. It's hard, isn't it? Isn't it hard?
It's like herding cats. Cats sometimes.
I am the biggest cat, so you have me to blame. Anyway, these weeks have been fantastic, but now it's time to turn to the younger Maureen of Maureen Younger Kind, for she has done something absolutely ridiculous, and it's time to find out what it is. What is your moment?
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on, and the top was actually around my neck, so I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini around her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
Didn't notice. Well, I thought I'd keep the Germanic theme going. This is a while back. So I was very upset about somebody, and I was meeting a friend in the foyer to a cinema or something, or a theatre. And he was with this woman, and I didn't want her to hear what I was talking about. And he's German, so I just went on. It was opened up my heart, which I don't normally do. And I was like really upset. So I was telling him all this stuff in German. And eventually got to the end of it, turned around to this woman, said, look, I'm really sorry. It was very rude speaking German, but it was quite personal. And she went, oh, it's fine. I'm German.
Yeah, great.
It's fine.
Does she have any advice, Maureen?
I thought you could have told me at the beginning. There's me going, whatever. And then she went, no, it's fine. I'm German. She understood every word I said.
Well, probably she was thinking, it'd be a bit weird to interrupt and just go, sorry, just to say, I am actually German and I understand everything. Anyway, carry on about this guy sounds like a knob, by the way. Sorry, who was this woman?
She was a friend of the guy, but I didn't realise that she was German. I'd never met her before.
Where were you?
We were in like a foyer. I can't remember. It was a while back. A foyer to a cinema or a theatre.
But in the UK.
In the UK. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why you thought this woman may not.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Even I wouldn't. Yeah. If I was in Germany, I probably would have been a bit wary.
I was thinking. I was like, where?
Okay. I probably should have said that at the beginning of the story, shouldn't I?
I think what was missing at the beginning of that story was where the foyer was, who you were with, what nationality they were, what nationality the general population is. I mean, I did get it.
Yeah.
But I did think the story would have been that much funnier had we set the scene.
Look, I had a very late night with lots of drinks and I've got a cat zooming around me. Give me a break. And I came home late the night before. So really, from Vienna, with honestly, I could hardly close my suit. I got so many presents. I had to leave two bottles of Bailey in Vienna. I mean, that's how bad it was. Honestly, I forgot when I packed, I forgot to take into account that I'd have stuff to put in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like gifts and whatnot. But that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's got all your smellies and your things. And I mean, I bought more in a bottle of Bailey's. I bought it in the airport. It said birthday cake.
Bailey's.
I was like, well, that's the perfect mix, isn't it? It's the Bailey's. It's a birthday cake. Gave it to Maureen. I had a sip of it. Honestly, one of the most revolting things I've ever put in my mouth. Blah,
that's what I was thinking.
Diabetes in a glass.
Someone else bought another bottle, didn't they? Karen
and then another one of Maureen's friends came with a bottle because we were like both at the airport. We thought birthday cake Bailey's great mix. Even Maureen, who has the sweetest tooth known to humankind, was like, this is actually disgusting.
And this is how bad it was, Alison, because Jen said to me, oh, I gave Karen one of your Bailey bottles. Now, normally I would have gone absolutely ape. I was like, yeah, that's okay.
Great. I hope Karen
to
enjoys that.
To be fair, in my defense, Maureen was there when I did it.
No, I wasn't, Jen. You're making that up.
No, you were there because otherwise I wouldn't have given you a bottle of Bailey's, would I? You weren't there at that moment, but when I said to you, can I give Karen a bottle away? Because you can't take two bottles with you. You said fine. And then I gave the bottle away. Anyway, it's the pedantics, it's the semantics, it's the didactics. Who cares? Maureen Younger, that was that's a way to ease us in to the Be More Maureen moment. You know, we don't want to start too high, do we?
But
I did appreciate that story. Would have appreciated a little bit of backstory to setting the scene and the geography of it. But that's, again, we don't need to lean into that. Let's lean into the fact that you bared your soul to a complete stranger, assuming they wouldn't understand you.
In the future, you're going to have to suss out everyone that's around you. You have very intellectual, intelligent friends, Maureen. You're going to be like, wait, how many languages do you speak before I start saying
well, it? Well, I assume she was British, so I assume she couldn't speak any language.
To be fair, all of Maureen's friends speak three languages.
Yeah, minimum.
So
yeah.
I felt like a complete
I mean, I had
thicket.
My friend Donatella yesterday who speaks, she's Italian, speaks fluent English, Spanish, Hebrew, Arabic. And there's another language. I can't remember what it is. Yeah. I mean.
Maureen, you don't have parties. You have gatherings of United Nations is what goes on.
It is. Like, her party in Vienna was like the gathering of the United Nations because everyone was speaking in three different languages. You'd hear people speaking in German, then they were speaking in French, speaking in English. And I was like there going, can we just all appreciate the person that just speaks English and Spanish badly here?
You know, my friend on the telly yesterday, she's an international war crime investigator. I do have a very...
eclectic blend.
She must be very busy right now.
she is really busy. You'll get a WhatsApp going. She's going, I'm in Aleppo at the moment, or I'm in Sudan. It's like blinking egg. Yeah.
Maureen's like, I'm in Nottingham. Don't talk about it. So
I'm in Grimsby.
I've got a really rough gig in Penge tonight.
Penge. Can be rough there. Can be rough. It's quite posh now, but can be rough. Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moment. Alison, it's hard because we're just at the start of the series, so people don't know to write in, but I know we've got a couple drip feeds from last year.
Yep.
But what I would say before we start the Ask Alison segment is to say, if you have any problems, please do send them Alison's way. You can send them to womentalkingbollocks@gmail.com with Ask Alison in the subject and she will answer your problems. But for now, let's go to Alison June Smith, and let us ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Brilliant. Well, Jen is correct. Thank you so much for those of you who so quickly, I know we put out a little call and you sent in problems and I'm very grateful. I'm not grateful that you have problems. I'm not grateful you have problems, but I'm grateful that you want to share them with me. So here we go. Again, not a therapist. I am not trained in any way, shape, or form. I'm just a person who cares and likes to listen. So here we go. The first one of the season. My husband has ADHD and has recently left his job with a settlement agreement after trying for more than a year to resolve issues at work caused by his boss's disorganization and micromanagement. You know, I got to say, I hear this story from a lot of people. When I was reading this, I actually thought this was one of my best friends that had written in, but it's not. So this is a very common thing. He has a lot of skills and experience in his field and has applied for probably about 50 jobs since October, but he's barely getting any interest. He has only had 2 interviews, neither of which led to jobs. He's getting more and more depressed and despondent, and I'm really struggling to know what to do to help him. He feels completely useless and not valued at all. It's not a financial issue, as I earn enough money to keep us going for a while, and we have savings, so I'm telling him not to worry about that. But the main issue is his self-esteem. It's taken a complete kicking. I have tried to ask him to do a few jobs in the house that need sorting, hoping that that would give him a sense of purpose, but it doesn't help. And other than applying for jobs, he spends most of his time on his PS5. We've chatted about volunteering or doing some programming courses to add to his skill set, but he's not that enthusiastic for that. I don't feel like I'm painting him in a very good light, but I promise he's not a lazy arsehole. He's just really struggling. Any advice? Yeah, okay. No, of course he's not a lazy arsehole. Look, and this is very common. If you look at the world right now, so many people, jobs are changing. People are, it's a tricky time right now, and looking for work is a tricky time. So the first thing I wanted to mention is ADHD. You say he's got ADHD. Is it a diagnosed ADHD? Is he on medication? Is it working? Sometimes you need to revisit these things, especially at times like this. I'm going to say, look, sometimes people in these situations too, because the job market is hard. I mean, how down is he? Is having to chat about antidepressants for a short period of time going to help? Again, I don't like to shove on medication, but I do know that a lot of ADHD can really be helped. And when we have dips and you know, ups and downs, these things can help. So I just like to flag that right away. Okay. Other things that I think you can do to get him peppy. Look, I can't believe I'm saying this. Does he work out? Sometimes doing a little bit of movement can get the endorphins going, all right? But it's hard because being rejected, look, we take it so personally, right? But it's just one situation. It's just one job that didn't work out. And I think sometimes people who lose a job or get rejected in some way, they kind of stay in that and they kind of dwell in that a little bit. So I'm really proud of you for being concerned about him and for trying to push him a little bit. The other thing that I want to say, though, is that as a partner, we can't nag. It's not our job to be like, here's a solution, here's a solution. You've got to support them. You've got to remind them how great they are. You can delicately suggest some ideas, which I like to say by doing things like, hey, why don't we both volunteer? Or why don't we do this? Or what, as opposed to, you should do this, you should do that. Because they're already in the state where they feel like, something's wrong. They didn't do something right. So it's a delicate balance of like suggestions, but not saying what to do. Nobody wants to be told what to do. There are some things you could do. Like what about, there's job coaches out there. There are people who can review resumes. There are people who can help in that regard. That's not you, but maybe guiding them towards an expert in regards to finding a job that can really help. I think things that you can really do that would really help him right now are things to do with not a job search. What about going on some more dates? What about reminding your partner how fabulous they are? I think what they might really need now is that support in reminding them that they are amazing and all the strengths that they have. Why don't you get him to plan a holiday? Why don't you get him to plan some dates for the two of you? Why don't you get him to focus on some things that are fun? Fun things for the both of you to do. Then you're, again, it's not a task of like, why don't you need to focus on this? Or you, hey, let you know, once a week, let's go out and do that. Let's try that restaurant. Can you find out the details? That sort of thing. I think then you're focusing on the person and not just like the job search. Because I think that can get a little overwhelming. Oh, joining a public speaking course can be really good. Also, this was an interesting, get a personality test. Sometimes, what is it, a Brigham Young? Is that what it's called, a personality test? I think I'm looking at the two of you because I'm like, they might know. But a personality test can sometimes give you some insight into maybe when you're doing the job interview, things that maybe you did not notice about yourself. These are just some outside ideas, different things that I think you could try with this person while they're going through this. But again, you got to remember, they feel rejected. So it's more a matter of building them up. He's going to find a job. It'll happen. But he has to be in a good spot as an individual. So I really think that is something that would help the most, especially as a partner, especially as a significant other. You just want to make them feel loved, appreciated, and remind them of all the great things that they are. That, I think, is the best advice that I can give you as a partner. And just remind him he's not alone. Right now, the job market is crazy. People are losing jobs left, right, and center. It's real tricky. He's not alone, and he sure is lucky to have you as a partner. And thank you for writing in. That is all the advice I think I want to give right now in regards to that. Yeah.
Very good advice. Thank you very much, Alison. I think we've talked about this before, haven't we? About how, you know, all of us, our identity and our ego and our self-esteem is kind of wrapped up in work and in what we do. It's about what we achieve. And I think that's partly to do with, you know, it's the human need to work. You know, it's like our natural state. It's a very unnatural state to have loads of time on our hands. And I know we always go on about, isn't it lovely having a holiday and isn't it lovely having a break? Well, all these things are really lovely because normally you're working and so then you get to enjoy the break. But if you have nothing to do all day and if you don't have any structure and if you don't have a timetable and if you don't have a purpose and if you don't have an income, then that is going to massively impact on how you feel about yourself as a human being, how you feel about yourself in relation to your partner, and it impacts everything. So it's really hard to be objective about that and then be motivated to think differently about how you can change your direction sometimes, because sometimes you can't stay doing that thing that you were doing. Or, do you know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Sometimes it become out, you know, outdated, or you're not needed anymore. Do you know? I know somebody who did a lot of cabling. And they had a very important job, got a lot of money doing cables. And then, of course, everything became wireless. So you've gone from having a job which has, you know, got a lot of value and money attached to it to being absolutely obsolete. And that obviously is going to affect somebody's self-esteem because, you know, you've gone from kind of up there to like, what do we need you for?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's about like, well, if I can't do that, what can I do? But I mean, there's loads of it that, you know, most jobs, you know, you can, the skills are, you can move, take those skills and use them in a different position or in a different job or a different career. And I think that, you know, the idea of doing a personality test, I know it sounds a bit random, but actually sometimes those things can really help you figure out what kind of, because sometimes we have a perception of who we are and then actually we find that we're not that. You know, like lots of people who think that they're, I'm an extrovert because I enjoy, I don't know, performing. And then they do a test and they're like, oh, no, I'm actually a complete introvert that just happens to like perform. Do you know what I mean? And then you can find out the kind of things about yourself that maybe you didn't know. All this information, all of this self-awareness can help act as a stepping stone to getting you to the next, because you're never going to just arrive at this next job or arrive at this next career. Every single step that you take will eventually get you there, but you're not going to just suddenly arrive. It is really hard. And I think as a partner, all you can do is support them and make suggestions and guide them, but you can't drag them there.
And again, how great is this person to even realize that it's not necessarily about the job, it's the self-esteem, because I really do think that's the core of it. Also, I just looked it up. It's the Myers-Briggs personality test. Brigham Young is a Mormon institution. So
yeah, contact them if you...
That's a very different
thing. Find religion. I believe Christian scientists do a personality test.
Oh, yes. They do a very big personality test. It involves losing all of your money.
do you mean Scientology? We're going to get cancelled. They're going to find
Scientology.
Us.
It's Scientology.
Well, Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't think they're listening. Anyway.
They're always listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
She, I like
Maureen
it. She's
has
like,
just left. Yeah. I don't know why. But I don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen
laughing. Maureen is laughing with other people.
We're
like,
in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my goat? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your goat?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished. It. It's all.
We've done it, and let's just say you were involved. Anyway. Right. Exactly. Let's talk about the televisual age. The age of television, maybe podcasts, maybe books. I don't give a shit. Whatever you've been doing. Let's just find out what it is you have been absorbing.
Well, I watched this. Well, Sammy watched it because I fell asleep in the middle. I had seen it before, though. The Lost City, which is a film with Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, or Chris Pine, as I kept insisting. So we started watching the movie. And then I was like,
oh, yeah, I watched it with you. You did fall asleep.
I did
fall asleep. I know, because I heard the snoring.
But you know what? It's a real... I mean, look, it's not going to win Best Picture of the Year award, but, you know, it's Sandra Bullock. Who does not like Sandra Bullock? Everybody likes Sandra Bullock. And it's, you know, it's a funny, amusing... Falling asleep had nothing to do with the film. I was very, very tired. And it's a nice way to spend an hour or two with friends, just watching a... You know, it's got some really good jokes in it. It's got Brad Pitt looking incredibly hot for a man, I think, who's in his 60s. Fucking hell. And I'd recommend it. Have you seen it, Alison?
No,
it's on Netflix.
All right.
Yeah, it's a really enjoyable movie. What did you quite enjoyed it, didn't you, Jen?
Yes, it has diminishing returns as it goes on, I would say. But it's a very self-aware
Doesn't take itself seriously.
Of a film. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. It is basically making fun of a lot of those
romantic with Stone and whatever.
It's like it's not quite a spoof because it does sort of do all the things that those films have done in the past, but it kind of has a few nods and a few winks as like, we know what this is. And so there is a bit of like sort of sending all of that genre up. But it's a really daft movie. And in that respect, it's very, you know, enjoyable, and you can pass the time. Again, as Maureen said, don't analyze it. Okay,
don't
analyze the subject. I mean, they do the whole thing where at one point Sandra Bullock is in this sequined jumpsuit throughout the entire film.
Brilliant figure.
And at one point the sequins have completely worn off her backside. because she's gone down this hill on her bottom. And so she gets up, she's brushing herself down, she bends down. There's no sequins on her bottom, so she's completely see-through. Cut to the next scene, the sequins are back. So do you know what I mean? It's like a real...
That's a consistency error.
Yeah, but it's a consistency error that's done with a nod and a wink.
Yeah,
it's done deliberately. It's that kind of It's fun. It's daft. And Sandra Bullock, I mean, the woman's 59. She looks like she's 22 in it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't even know what's going on. It's like,
yeah, she looks amazing.
She looks incredible. So, yes, that's a recommendation. I watched this a while ago, and it's on Apple TV. It's called Invasion, and it's a science fiction show, and it is what it says it is on the tin, that the Earth, the planet is invaded by aliens, basically.
I'm in.
Yeah, it's great. But what I would say, if that is your bag, you're like, oh, I love the alien invasion stuff. I'm in. I'll just hold back a minute, because it's not about the aliens, really. So it's about how people, us as human beings, survive, react, behave once our planet is invaded. And so really what it's about is about, I mean, you could say it's about occupation, basically. And you could say that about any country that is being occupied by another sort of superior, like a state with superior gun, you know, weapons or money or what have you. It's like colonialism. Colonialism?
Colonialism. Who was at the party last night?
He was a good friend of mine. Colonialism.
I find that funny as a British person. It's hard for you to say.
It's hard for us. It's not hard for us to do. Weirdly, about it. Alison. We are really
it's not a
good
concept
at doing
we know
it.
About.
Can't say it, but we're brilliant at doing it.
Yeah. We used to be.
Now we can't
the
say
sun
it or
now
do
sets.
It. Oh God. Anyway, colonialism. So that's what it's about. So really,
what's it about again,
for the first, because colonialism. So for the first two series. There's only two series out. I actually can't say it now. I actually don't know how to say it. The first series. Let me just get this out, because we said we're trying to make this shorter. This.
Yeah, we are.
Make Alex's job easier. We're actually making it harder. So you don't really. Sorry. You don't really see the alien.
Oh, you don't see
my... Shut up, Maureen! Stop saying colonialism. Let me just get this out, and then we can move on to the horror show.
I think we're witnessing it.
Oh, she's funny when she's hungover, everyone. That's awesome.
Okay, are we done?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to try and do this in three bullet points. It's not about the aliens. There's not many aliens in the first series. I'm not going to say what it's imperialism. There we go. It's that's much easier. Why didn't I say that? So it's about. So you don't see them. And so I think a lot of people, when they watched it, were like, oh, this is really annoying because it hasn't really got aliens in it. They do sort of start to arrive at the end of the first series, and in the second series, they're a bit more prevalent. But it's really just about, you know, about humanity, really, and how humanity behaves when it's being colonized.
What's the program called again? I've forgotten. It was so long ago. What is
it's called Invasion. It's called Invasion. So long ago. Anyway. I really enjoyed it. That's all I wanted to say. I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to go into the cast. We haven't got time. We spent so much time just on one word that I don't actually have time to tell you anything about the program. But it's on Apple TV. I can recommend it. There's two series available. The second series does hot up. Okay, in case you think the first series is quite slow, and. It's set in various different parts of the country, the US, obviously, Japan, London. It moves over to Central Europe. It's great. Alison, please tell us about your horror story.
It's not about invasions and... No, go on.
Colonialism. No, absolutely not. As a Canadian, I feel weird saying that. Anyway, my horror movie that I am choosing, because I was thinking, okay, so it's going along with like a job search and, you know, more like keeping someone like in a good frame of mind and you know, just, okay. So the movie that I am choosing, I know I've chosen it before, but I don't care. It's a classic. And I think it really does pertain well to this. I am going with The Shining, everyone.
Oh, The Shining. Maureen, you've seen The Shining, haven't
you? No, I still haven't seen it. We were meant to watch it with you. I was meant to watch it with you when I was next
Yes.
Remember I called it The Screaming?
The Screaming. You did call it The Screaming.
You called it The Screaming. That's right.
Why I chose this one. So, okay, if you've never seen The Shining, like Maureen, Jack Torrance, Jack Nicholson, becomes a winter caretaker at the isolated Overlook Hotel in Colorado, hoping to cure his writer's block. He settles in along with his wife, Wendy, and his son, Danny, and is plagued by psychic premonitions. As Jack's writing goes nowhere and Danny's visions become more disturbing, Jack discovers the hotel's dark secrets and begins to unravel into a homicidal maniac hell-bent on terrorizing his family. Okay, the big scene is, and I don't, spoiler alert, it's been out long enough. It's been out for long enough. I don't care. When you get to, you find out what he's been writing, and all he writes the whole time is, what is it? All play and no work
all
makes
work
Jack
and no
a dull
play makes Jack all a dull
work,
boy.
Sorry, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And I just thought it fit in well because I like the idea of like helping your husband to find joy again in his life and finding some nice things, right? That's important. So, and also don't let him take a job writing a novel and going to an isolated
in a hotel
place in Colorado. So that's my big advice right there. Yeah.
That's my big advice. Or whatever.
Job transitions can be hard. Keep them positive. That's why I went with The Shining. I think it's a great movie. It'll be a classic. Yeah. You'll enjoy it, everyone. Yeah.
I love everything about that film. I love where it's set. I love the hotel. I love how I love
winter, so snowy.
It's like there's like a blizzard. It's so cold and
apparently the lead actress was treated appallingly in that movie, wasn't she?
I'm pretty sure all lead actresses were treated appallingly in all movies.
It was the 70s, Maureen. I don't think there was a film set that existed where women weren't treated badly. But I can believe that. I can totally believe that. Please don't let that stop you from watching the film, though.
Because you will have to watch no films.
Otherwise, you'll never be able to watch a film again.
Exactly.
You're not going to believe this. Women are treated badly.
That's the name of our next
everywhere.
Show. Women treated badly. WTB, women treated badly.
Not on my watch. Not on my watch, Alison. Women treated brilliantly. That's what we have on this podcast. Apart from poor Maureen, who doesn't half get a flipping earful from me all the time.
Yeah, but luckily I don't really listen, so it's fine.
No,
this
never
is true.
To what I said, hence the whole thing with the babies. What? Anyway, we won't go into that. Maureen, it's time to turn back to you because you have a corner. It is cultural. You have made it so. Tell us all about it. Maureen Younger, she has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm saying.
Wow, wait.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen. Guys, I'm hoping, visa willing, I'm going to be in Australia very soon.
Australia? Not visa willing. The visa's coming.
So I'm going to be in Adelaide for 4 weeks and then Sydney for a week. So I thought I'd give my cultural corner a bit of an Australian flavour.
Yes, great.
So I'm talking about Australian films.
Oh, I love Australian films.
Yeah.
I actually don't think I've ever seen an Australian film that I don't like, ever.
Yeah.
Apart from that film, Australia. That wasn't very good.
Oh, yeah, that was... Yeah. Mm. Okay, we'll move on. That's not included. You'll be like, pleased to know that's not included in one of my... Could you imagine? Oh, my first film's Australia. Anyway. It doesn't have... No, it's not. Our first film is Gallipoli, which is a brilliant, brilliant movie.
Mel Gibson.
Stars Mel Gibson. His rep in the 80s was slightly different than it is now. That time he was a sex symbol. This is one of the biggest... After Mad Max is the film that really established him, and Mark Lee, and involves around several young men from Western Australia who volunteer to fight in the Australian Army during World War One. And Mark Lee's character and Mel Gibson, they're really fast runners, so that's how they met each other. And it's all about Gallipoli, which in Britain is never talked about. No one really knows about the Gallipoli campaign. I think Churchill was one of the lead brains behind it. But for Australia and New Zealand, it was really it's a really big thing. Basically, loads and loads of Anzacs were killed in a ridiculous campaign where basically they had to attack the Turks. And the Turks were sitting on a hill, which is never a good way to attack somebody if they're on a hill, with machine guns. And they were basically mowed down. And I think up to then, obviously I'm not an expert on Australian New Zealand history, but up to then I think, you know, Aussies and New Zealanders had this, you know, idea that Britain was the motherland and blah, blah, blah. And I think Anzac just basically taught them that, you know, Britain didn't really give a shit about them. And I think it woke a lot of, it kind of made them more, not made them more, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it gave them a more sense of their nation, I think. And I mean, obviously Aussies and Kiwis could explain this better. Anzac Day is a very big day. It's bigger than Remembrance Day over there. And so anyway, you've got this, for most of the film, it's just these Australians, really likable Australians. They're having a laugh, they're whatever, whatever. And as the film progresses, you see they lose their innocence. And then you get the big attack in Gallipoli. And I think because you've had such a nice time and you really enjoy these characters, it really sucker punches you at the end. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's a brilliant, brilliant movie.
I saw it many, many years ago. I think I saw it. I think I was a teenager when I saw it, actually. Mm. So and it was
came out in 81.
On TV. But I would have been a repeat on telly, but I did remember really enjoying it. And I'm thinking it was, and not knowing anything about that history at all. And, you know, again, it's all about
colonialism.
Yeah.
I was going to try and say it, but I didn't want to do it. I'm glad you guys did it.
But yeah, that's a great movie. And I can recommend that. I'm pretty sure you can, I'm sure if you Google it, you could probably rent it on that Amazon.
Yeah,
you'll find it.
Yeah,
and it's and often, I mean, I don't know, but it used to be in certainly in the UK, it used to be repeated on telly a fair bit.
Yeah, he's a very good director. The next one is Break and Morant. It's kind of similar theme from 1980 by Bruce.
I don't know this one.
Oh, it's really good, and it's based on a true story. So it's set in the Boer War in 1902, and there's a court martial of three Australian soldiers. So Harry Morant, Peter Hancock and George Witten. And it was one of the first war crime prosecutions in British military history. And they were accused of killing Boer prisoners and a German civilian. And the Boer War was quite, the British had concentration camps, not in the sense that the Germans did, but they concentrated people and a lot of people died from, you know, from illness and hunger and stuff like that. So, you know, there was no Geneva Convention, let's put it that way. But they picked, it reminds me really of the Paths of Glory. They picked on three soldiers and they go on trial and you kind of know the trial's a show trial. They're going to get executed. Do you know what I mean? It's just, they're just going through the motions. And it's a really interesting story. And Bruce Beresford said it was quite interesting because a lot of people took it as the Brits having, you know, just using the Australians as scapegoats. And he said, you know, there was no question that they did what they were accused of, and his interest wasn't really about saying the Brits were using the Australians as scapegoats, but how, you know, about war crimes and how kind of relatively normal people, you know, during war will commit crimes that they wouldn't think of doing otherwise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, because a lot of people commit war crimes. You know, if you saw them in their daily lives, that would have been just completely utterly normal people. And that's the banality of normality. As I can't remember her name, very famous.
Whatever becomes your normal,
yeah.
Suddenly, it becomes a new normal. And yes, if that banality of that new normality comes into play, I mean that we see that happening over and over and over again in every war, don't we?
Yeah.
So.
So it's a really, if you haven't seen it, it's a really, really good film, really well acted. And next one you've bound to have seen, it's fantastic, Strictly Ballroom.
Oh, I just love this film. Yeah. I love this film so much.
It is so life affirming. I remember seeing it with my friend who cannot be named at Wilston. She's not Voldemort, don't worry. at Wilston.
But we cannot name her.
We cannot name her for legal reasons. She was remember seeing it at Wilston Green Outdoor Cinema or something. They had a cinema outdoors for one day. And everybody by the end was dancing and singing along. It's an absolutely fantastic movie. It's Baz Luhrmann's first movie. And it stars, basically it's got Scott Hastings is the lead character in it. And he's a champion ballroom dancer who dances his own steps, which they don't like. And Fran is this kind of shy, quiet, beginning dancer. And she asks Scott to be her partner. It is absolutely colourful, vibrant, really, really funny, slightly surreal. I really love it. I think it's one of
the... Yeah, it's
such a great
just
movie.
Brilliant. I mean, look, We started by being not particularly complimentary to another one of Baz Luhrmann's films, Australia. But the films that I like of his, I absolutely love. And I think Strictly Ballroom may be one of my favourite films, actually.
It's such a fantastic movie.
It is so... I totally agree with you about it being life-affirming. And it's one of the stories where you know how it's going to go, but the journey is so much fun. And again, you can get that on Amazon Prime, Strictly Ballroom. But I definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend it.
The last one, I don't know if you guys have seen it, is The Dish, which is a 2000 Australian film. And it tells the story of the Parkes Observatory, which played an important role in the live television relay of man first on the moon. And it's got Sam Neill in it. And it's a really lovely comedy. Really, there's a great moment when the American ambassador turns up, and so they play what they think is the national anthem, which is actually the tune to Hawaii 5-0. So...
oh God!
But you know, you've got American, you've got the moon landings, and then basically it's all dependent on this, where they're playing golf and everything. I think it's golf. Like it's kind of in the middle of nowhere in Australia. This kind of dish. It's really, really lovely movie. And who doesn't like Sam Neill? It's like Sandra Bullock.
Oh yeah, Sam Neill's fantastic. And do you know what he's really good at? He's really good at playing the hero, and he's really good at playing the antagonist. He's really good at playing the baddie as well.
He's just good.
Yeah. He's great. Like, he's fantastic in Dead Calm, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a brilliant movie. I forgot about that one. That is a brilliant movie.
Sorry, I just had to Google Sam Neill. You're right. He is a great, villainy. He's tremendous.
But he can play the hero as well.
Alison, have you seen Dead Calm?
I feel like I saw it a long time ago. You will have seen it.
It's a really good movie.
It was a breakthrough film for Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
She's so young in it. And also, I think it came just after a TV series that she did, which is also fantastic. Again, Australian, called Bangkok Hilton, where she has drugs put into her bag by her boyfriend, and she's caught with these drugs. This is the character Nicole Kidman. This is a TV series, I think a limited series. And she goes to... Prison in Bangkok, the Bangkok Hilton. Oh, Mike, I remember watching it with my mum, and it is absolutely... Have you seen it, Maureen?
No.
It's from the maybe late 80s, early 90s. Maybe early it would be, 90s, it would, late 80s.
Yeah, it's probably the 80s.
It's fantastic television. Like 80, must be, if it is, it's like 88, 89. Oh, my God. I absolutely loved it. It was one of those TV series that... My mum and I think we were like, every time we were like, oh my God, we can't wait to watch it. Like, it wasn't one of those ones where, because you can't go, well, if we miss it, it'll be on repeat. Like,
no, you have to watch it.
We've missed it. So we had to watch it. And I remember we saw Bangkok Hilton, and then that's why we went to watch shortly after when Dead Calm came out. We were like, we're going to get that out because it's got that actress in it.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Dead Calm.
Anyway, Dead Calm is fantastic.
I saw it for Chris' birthday. It got
Billy Zane.
Treat. Oh yeah,
there's only three characters.
When he had hair, when he
I
had
love
hair.
Billy
and honestly, it's really frightening. I screamed in the cinema, obviously.
Billy Zane, it's not frightening. Billy Zane, Sam Neill, Nicole Kidman, not frightening in that sense. I mean, you get there's shocks, but I don't want people to think it's,
it's not a horror movie, like a horror film. It's scary.
Well, yeah, it's a thriller. Anyway, is that it, Maureen?
That's
You've done it. Oh, well done. Great. I mean, I was surprised you picked two. You picked two things I never heard of, so that's great.
Oh, okay, cool.
Fantastic. We're near the end of the show. We're doing well, timing-wise.
We're almost there. We're in the final section. So we've had extensive discussions about colonialism. We've learned a lot. But what we want to get to is we want to know what's getting your goat, Jen. What's your goat this week?
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are. My goat is I can't pronounce the word colonialism. What is that about? I'm going to have to practice. practices. When this episode ends, I'll be in front of the mirror saying colonialism, colonialism, colonialism. Genuinely, though, it is quite tricky to say, isn't it? And I don't think I should make, I don't think I should feel bad about it. There are always words that we can't say or we say wrong. Somebody said schedule to me recently. I had to remind them that we're British and we say schedule. They said, no, it's British is schedule. American is schedule. I nearly lost it with them. I was like, we can't be friends now. It's actually schedule. But look, it's fine. We have to accept that there are some words that we can pronounce and some words we can't. I love the fact that Maureen still can't pronounce the word soldier. It's sodia. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Have you got a word you can't pronounce, Alison? Let's hear it.
Yeah, I have to say it very slowly. Orgasm.
Orgasm.
And organism. If I say them too quickly, they just kind of blend orgasm, into organism. One. So if I just don't think about it, it'll be like an organizasium. I can't. Organizasium. Like if I don't. Organism. Organism.
Oh. Right, otherwise it's organism. I thought for a second you were like, you know when you're talking about organisms and you have to mention that they're having orgasms, and so then I end up saying organisms.
That's an organism.
Well,
my mom can't say Mexico. She says Mexico.
Mexico. I love it.
Mexico.
I loved hearing you saying arsehole, because you would say asshole, right? I very much enjoyed arsehole. Say it again. Let's hear it.
Arsehole.
Arsehole. You have to say asshole. You've got to say it like that. Asshole sounds great with a US, with a North American accent, Canadian accent. I actually really don't like it when British people say asshole. I'm like, no. We say arsehole. We don't say asshole.
Arsehole.
So, do you know there was that was problem with that Jane Fonda and Robert Redford film, which was R and then souls. In night, but of course in English it just comes across as arseholes in night.
Yeah.
Oh.
There is a song. I think we have talked about this on this podcast again, because I can feel I'm saying the same anecdote. But there is a song that's called Arseholes Come Together. And when I listen to it, I cannot stop laughing. Arseholes come together. I think we peaked. We can do no better than this. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.